But how about a different perspective as we start today with a voice that you know from Relevant Radio, Steve Ray, a convert to the Catholic Church, a best-selling author who leads pilgrimages around the world online at CatholicConvert.com. The connection between a convert and Pope St. John Paul II? Steve Ray came into the Catholic Church during the papacy of Pope St. John Paul II. The story is one that you've never heard before on the radio, and Steve is joining us live from Detroit. Steve, good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you, John. Good to be with you.
St. John Paul II, he was Pope when you converted to the Catholic Church. What role did he have in your conversion?
What a lucky guy I was, huh? Just to have such a marvelous Pope in the Vatican at the time of my conversion, it made it easy because when I looked at him, he was a great model of holiness and sanctity and a theological, philosophical genius. So for me, when I was coming into the church, to look at it and say, this is the head of the church, this is the church you're joining, and he's the Pope, I'd say, wow, that is really cool. and his writings and his, but it was more his life. I came in through apologetics, not through kind of what's going on currently, but his life and his sanctity and his example and the way he was respected around the world had a huge impact on my being attracted to the church.
And also, you saw a priest as a man, a very athletic guy. He was involved in theater. There are so many facets to him, and I think for a lot of us, we saw the priesthood in a different light.
I agree completely. He was a manly man, and that's what priests and should be. It should be good examples of being manly men. And at the same time, I loved, because I'm involved in politics, I mean, I love freedom, and I loved the way he was courageous and fearless in the face of the Soviet Union, and came from Poland, this country under the thumb of Russia and the Soviet Union, and I watched how he so carefully and tactfully handled that whole situation to the point of the wall coming down. So yeah, all of those things combined made him quite heroic. That's why I'm so happy I got to meet him twice personally, which only was like frosting on the cake.
What was that like?
Well, that I'm lost for words. That doesn't happen very often. It started when we were in Rome, and I sent a fax. I knew that Bishop Jivitz was in charge of the Pope. He was a secretary, and we sent a fax in the year of Jubilee. It was the year 2000, so we would like to have Mass with the Pope. We got back at that. I was amazed that I got a response back to our hotel. Too busy. Impossible. It's the year of the Jubilee. But I kept every day I was persistent. And the last day we were there, I got a note back to our hotel, come quickly to the bronze door at the Vatican. You can have Mass with the Pope this morning. So my wife and I were unbelievably thrilled. I only have my travel clothes. I don't travel with suits and ties. I don't wear those anymore, John. So I had to run to a friend down the street. He said he's 250 pounds. He was running down the street with a cigarette. Follow me. He took me to a clothes store, and they made a suit for me right there on the spot. And my wife pinned up, you have to have the legs and arms hemmed. My wife just put pins in so that the next morning there I was in this new suit with pins all over.
What a great story.
Oh, it was. It was so amazing. And so we went there, and they ushered us up. And I just said to my wife, we got to be in the front. So I kind of elbowed my way in. And there we were sitting in the chapel in the front row. And it's just like no bigger than kind of a large living room. And in comes John Paul II. And he kneels down and faces the Blessed Sacrament right in front of me. He was no more than 3 feet from me for that Mass. And he celebrated Mass there. And I thought to myself, oh, my, look, he's just got these frumpy little sandals on. And he didn't even comb his hair yet this morning. He's just an average man. He's just an average old man. Oh, but he's not just an average old man. He's the vicar of Christ. These paradoxes in Catholicism, you just see this little old man there kneeling. But he's not just a little old man. He is the vicar of Christ. He has a special channel to God and to Christ that we don't have. Very special. And he was so weak, I thought, I hope he doesn't just fall over. And yet at the same time, I'm thinking to myself, he's probably the strongest man in the world. There's not a rock star or a movie actor in the world that wouldn't love to have one-tenth of the clout this guy has, the power that he has, the moral voice that he has around the world. And yet he looks like he could almost fall over. This was towards the end when he was older. And then after the Mass, which was just overwhelming, praying the Mass with him just 3 feet from us, then they went out into like an audience hall And he came and he spoke to each one. And I have the rosaries that we have given to him. We still have those. And they're right here on my desk. And we have four of them because we met him twice like this. And I remember I just had my book, Crossing the Tiber, my conversion story. And I was so excited to give it to him and say, Holy Father, I'm a convert to the Catholic Church. I used to be Baptist and now I'm Catholic. And this is a great joy to meet you. And here's my book. But, you know, by the time he got two people down from us, I just sensed the holiness there because he really was a holy man and just love. He was this unique. It was almost like a fragrance. And he came two people down from me in the line. He'd stay and talk to each person a couple minutes. And I started to cry, John. And I just was sobbing. And my wife loves to joke and said that when John Paul came to us, Steve didn't say one word. Can you imagine that?
Wow, what a story.
Now, my wife, on the other hand, she did not get at all distracted. She knelt. She would. This is another whole story maybe we can do. She had prayed when we became Catholic to maybe raise up a priest. And we were already old, so it was kind of like beyond going to be possible. But she fell on her knees, and I have pictures. I'll send it to you, the pictures after this. You can put them up on Facebook if you want. And my wife knelt in front of him and said, Holy Father, please pray for me that I can raise a priest. And he says, what? And she says, I want to raise a priest. And so he had his hands all over my wife. He had his hands on her head and her shoulders and praying for her. And I'll tell that story some other time, what happened as a result of that. But that was our first experience. And we had a second experience like that with our kids, John, where I took my oldest daughter and my oldest son got married 2 weeks apart. And they were, and by the time we got to the Pope in the summer that year, they were already pregnant. My daughter was pregnant and my daughter-in-law were pregnant. And so they came to the mass with the Pope with their wedding garments on, and he brought them up and he prayed for my daughter and son and their spouses, and they were both pregnant, so he prayed for the babies in their womb. And those two kids are exceptional. But those are just a couple of fun stories that we have with John Paul.
Wow, incredible. As we celebrate what would have been the 100th birthday of Pope St. John Paul II, Steve Ray, online at CatholicConverts.com, when you were at Mass in the chapel. I'm always fascinated by the look in the priest's eye when he elevates the host and the chalice. It's a great moment to look into his soul and see that holiness and have that radiate into you. What was that like when you looked into John Paul II's eyes as he raised the host and the chalice during the consecration?
He was doing it ad orientem, so he was facing
forward. Oh, okay.
When he did that. But the whole time, John, the whole time when he was there, it was like he was the only one in the room. It was like he was having a special audience with the Lord. So we had a special audience with him, but it was like we weren't there in a way, because he was just so absorbed. It was like this was the first time he's ever doing this, or like the last time he was ever going to do this. And I know he's a real human being and so on, and but at that moment for us, it was like he was levitating almost. I mean, he wasn't, but it seemed that way to us because he was so taken with what he was doing in the presence of God. And he came in and he knelt there and he just prayed, and you could just see the sincerity in me. I think he had a real close relationship with the Lord. And I've heard people say that, but when you are that close to him during the Mass, I never doubted that again in my life, that this man was right in the presence of God when he was celebrating the Mass. And we were kind of in the background until the Mass was finished and he went out. Then he looked and talked to us. But boy, before that, he was, and there was a holiness, a palpable holiness. I remember one time, I'll just quickly say this, that I met Father John Harden, who was a wonderfully holy man. And I knew him before he died when I converted. And I remember one day I walked into this Mass and I sensed something very strange. And I felt like I didn't belong there. And in comes Father John Harden at his old age. And I got up and left the room, and I thought to myself, I'm not worthy to be in a room with a man that holy, because I could sense that holiness about him. And I came back in because I knew that I, because of God, I was, you know what I mean? But I just sensed that almost to the point where I felt like I didn't belong to be there. And I felt the same way with John Paul II. But at the same time, I know that I'm forgiven and my sins are, you know, gone, and I'm right with God at that moment. But there was still such a sense of holiness. You know, when people see the angels, or when even the book of Revelation, when John the Apostle saw Jesus in his glorified state, he says he fell on the ground and people fall. There's that sense of something transcendent and holy about it. And that's how I felt when I was with John Paul II.
You are giving Glenn and me chills in how well you're telling this remarkable story, and we've heard something in your voice that I don't think we've ever heard over the years that we've had you on Relevant Radio in this, not only meetings, plural, with Pope St. John Paul II, but the influence that he's had on you and so many of us as Roman Catholic men and women. Steve Ray, a convert to the Catholic Church, a best-selling author, and you can check that out online at CatholicConvert.com. Steve, thanks for your remembrances today and your love that obviously radiates for Pope St. John Paul II. Thanks for being on Morning Air.
You're welcome. It was my great joy.
Coming up next.